Let's see. So I still think we need to, we've got a number of items, so I don't think we need to update the critical task at hand this time. Let's see. So the first item really was the postmortem of the last couple of the events.
Okay, I guess that's that'd be me.
Okay.
So I guess the most recent. Well, see, I guess I'll go for the first one was the demos at the Ontology Summit Symposium. I guess we had a total of six demos in all, and I could have done a better job of time managing, but there were three that were, I guess, of most interest to us today. So Gary Burkrosh kind of demoed the geospatial work, the SOCOP work, OOR instance. And we had the video of Christoph Lange doing presenting the OntoHub, which he presented to us at an earlier OOR session until Moskovsky was there for answering any kinds of questions. And then finally, I wrapped things up by giving a brief overview of Calore and what's happening there and the current status of that. So this was in the context, again, of the Ontology Summit. So that was Ontology for Big Systems. And the kind of the repository work came up partly because one of the other kind of special tracks was related to federation and semantic integration. So repositories play a big role there, but also because this tied in with the earlier summit, of course, which kind of launched OOR itself.
Peter, here. I think it was great. I think we did very well. I mean, leveraging that opportunity to give OOR a bit more exposure, and also it's comforting to see that earlier summit efforts don't just fizzle out, but I mean, after how many years? 4 years, we're still going strong and gathering a very supportive community from quite a few serious players in this area. So, which is good.
Well, I have to say the way it's working out is not how I originally envisioned things happening, but it's still having an influence.
And right. And I definitely need to thank the various people who sort of joined the OR.net branding sort of right before the summer symposium, so that we could present them as sort of being fairly coherent. That includes, I mean, besides our own instances, included the SOCOP instance, which is also something we run, but Calore from Michael, the Oak Ridge National Lab DAAC collection from Lynn Pichard, the MMI Open Repository, the Ontology Repository and Registry, supported by Carlos Rueda and John Grayville, and of course, as well as the NCBO people, who, although wouldn't let us use the OR.net domain, top level domain, but at least they clearly indicate they are part of the OR one of the OR instances. This was sort of like Mark Musin's blessing. So all those communications went through generally, I mean, like a couple of weeks before the summit symposium, and I guess the work that got us that OR.net page up and going, which Michael presented, and also I believe Gary used in as one of the slides on his presentation too.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, so are there any other comments about that, Todd? Because you were physically there, are there any other comments?
Physically there? Was that on Friday? The answer is physically there, no.
Because his heart was elsewhere.
Yeah.
On the communicator.
Yeah, his fingers were elsewhere on the writing, typing. Okay, so then the next postmortem item here would be the metadata workshop number 7 that we held last week, April 24th. And the special topic last week was metadata in ontology mapping. And so we had three sets of panelists. We had the group from Bremen, so it's Oliver, Christoph, and Till, presented the work that's going on with ontology links within the Onto IOP project. One of the things that they've been trying to do is to get together kind of the experts in kind of ontology mapping, because they want to, you know, again, standardize or at least kind of identify the de facto standards in ontology mapping. And so we also brought Jerome Usenat, who presented ontology alignment metadata from the work that he's been doing, a lot of work that he's been doing with ontology mapping, and then Natasha Noy looking at the mapping repository within BioPortal. So it was a very productive meeting, I thought. There was a lot of discussion, and I think there was a lot of good kind of ideas presented that the Bremen group will be incorporating into the Onto IOP standard proposal. And we're kind of thinking of having a follow-up meeting on mappings again, trying to kind of come up with, kind of a more common sort of framework, identifying the differences and similarities among all the different kind of mapping endeavors.
So, Michael.
Yeah.
That was a very interesting session you had. And one thing that wasn't exactly clear to me at the end of that was that, is it the case that we could represent all possible mappings in common logic?
Well, I think that's, yeah, you're right. I mean, that's kind of one of the issues for a follow-up meeting, is the difference between the representation language for the ontologies and the representation languages for the mappings.
Right.
And, I mean, there are definitely some mappings that we've encountered, even within first-order logic, where the mappings can't be written in first-order logic. You need a second order to specify it.
Well, for OWL, we know that we can't do it in OWL itself, at least not without a lot of craziness.
In general, right.
Yeah, but you're saying also even in common logic there are situations where you have to go outside of common logic, or...
Well, that's kind of what's not clear. There's some discussions I've been having with Till kind of about that. When you're mapping, doing mappings between, say, time ontologies that have only points and time ontologies that have only intervals, one of the directions, a time point is kind of represented or mapped to a special set of time intervals, and it's not clear whether that special set is definable in first-order logic.
Okay.
But this interaction between the ontology language and the mapping language is something I think that's very interesting, and that would be kind of a topic for the next or a follow-up mapping session. Where that's the next metadata session, I'm not sure, but it'll definitely be the next metadata for mapping session.
Well, it's metadata.
Yeah.
So.
Well, no, because we might have another metadata session on some other topic. But, you know, the next time we have a metadata session for ontology mappings in particular, that would be the focus.
Well, as a suggestion, one of the issues that's popped up, mostly because of common logic, at least from my perspective, was a bad assumption or a misassumption or an ignorance of the notion of visualization of ontologies.
All right.
Now, I don't know if you want to consider that metadata. It's some sort of meta capability. And the questions I have is, do we really need it, especially if the ontology is very complex, you know, with a lot of relations? And if it is needed, and this gets to sort of the requirements for OR, if it is needed, is there a generic enough way to represent that in OOR so it could be specialized for the particular languages? And I believe I heard someone say, I don't know if it was you, Michael, or someone else, that yes, there is a generic way to do that. Oh, maybe it was John Bateman or someone from Germany. They were doing it for HET, I don't remember. But that,
that's something that would fall into your
portfolio?
I think that could definitely be an upcoming session.
There's the pragmatic side of, do we really need it?
Right.
And then the more interesting side, if we do need it, is there a good way to do it?
Yeah.
Whatever that means.
Anyone else have thoughts on that? I like that idea.
Actually, I felt sort of embarrassed that I had this generic notion that, yeah, of course we need to visualize it, and then we sort of had a standard way in terms of the simple-minded graph representations, but then, you know, sort of slapped in the face by saying, oops, well, maybe not. Bad assumption, or an unanalyzed assumption.
Well, it's kind of related to the question of, you know, what do we need to know about the ontology, right? If metadata is information about the ontology, you know, what do we need to know? And then what's the best way of representing that? You know, so you know, mappings, for example, would be, how do you visualize mappings? How do you visualize these relationships between pieces of ontologies? That's different from how do you represent the kind of the content so people, you know, the users can get a very quick understanding of, you know, which ontology they should be looking for.
Yeah, I don't see that visualization helps you get a good understanding unless you want to have a notion of the density of relations or the spread of the relation among the classes or concepts, whichever term you want to use. I think there are better metrics than trying to look at a little picture, and given the effort that has to go into creating visualizations, if it can be avoided, that would be good.
Right. Yeah, so we need to start thinking of who we could invite to kind of help us along with those ideas.
Okay, that's why we have you as a champion.
Yeah.
But Peter here, I mean, I was really excited, especially, of course, we've heard the OntoIR people and the NCBO folks many times before, but hearing what Jerome Usenet had to present was very refreshing, and I personally would love to see how we could engage him into contributing here, especially where he's done so much work on his mapping server.
Exactly.
We'll go into it a little bit more later today. I have a new agenda item and a sort of, I think, big opportunity for OOR that, incidentally, I've been trying to develop for the last 3 years or so, and I think it's the opportunity is already coming up. A little bit of background is, way back when Leo Oberst and Pat Cassidy and myself, when we all worked for VerticalNet, the one big thing that we do is to go back to go to databases, harvest the database schemas, turn them into ontologies, and then work with the ontologies for faceted search, and sort of provide much richer possibilities on slicing and dicing the database. So with the upcoming possibilities on data.gov, where we have hundreds of thousands of data sets available, some of them, maybe a lot of them, actually structured data sets coming out of databases with a schema, I think we could fairly quickly tap into that opportunity with OOR by saying, I mean, here is a go-to place where you could find, quote-unquote, the ontologies, and presumably if we could very effectively turn the database schemas into some sort of ontology, and maybe fairly rudimentary in the beginning, and we recursively improve on them with the communities, I think that would be great. Obviously, we can't do it by hand when we have like 300,000 databases or data sets, but if there are some automatic tools with some people who know what they're doing around, I think we can get a long ways. So more later. But that's one of the drivers why I think engaging Jerome is great. Or maybe while I'm talking about this, if any one of you know who else is working in that particular space, I would love to hear about it. Maybe Michael, Mike, Ken, Todd.
But you're referring to the alignment space?
Not alignment, but I mean, actually getting database schemas into ontology with sort of semi-automatic methods.
Oh. Well, unfortunately, the only person that comes to mind is a name we don't want to mention.
Namely? Are you sure he's doing it?
Well, he claims to be doing it.
I doubt it. So,
as I said, he claims, but I haven't spent the time to investigate in detail. Other than that, I'm not aware of any well-known people or groups within the government trying to do that. I mean, there may be some subgroups within data.gov across the various agencies that are attempting to do that, but if they are, they're not telling anybody or advertising.
The RPI people have been calling the data sets and producing what they call the vocabularies. I mean, they've done tens of thousands, not the hundreds of thousands, but I think they've done like 13,000 or something.
From data.gov?
Yes. I mean, when for example, Leading and Jay Bauer were still at RPI, of course, they've both left RPI since. So I don't know what RPI is doing. And the other people who might come close is Elisa Kendall's work. I know she has been working on sort of the translations between UML models and ontologies, and I would bet database is somewhere in that play.
Yeah, I mean, and Corey is working with CIMF on, you know, models for federation of databases. So,
right, but I don't
know a lot. I think that's more dealing with things once they're already ontologies rather than creating ontologies from
scanning. Hi, this is Ken.
Yes.
I certainly know a lot about this too, although I haven't been active in that area for a while. I did things like this some years ago. But one of the things that you often look for when you're doing that kind of work with databases is it isn't enough just to know the schema. You need to know how it's being used. In other words, you need to know the queries
context
that are being made. And I don't know. I mean, to what extent do they even have this kind of information?
That would depend on the source, wouldn't it? Some places are better at providing that documentation and that contextual information than others.
I mean, if it's just described in natural language, it's really hard to automate it. If you have actual SQL queries, then you have some more hope of automating.
Yeah, well, as Peter said, you can only probably automate part of it.
Oh, yeah, I mean, there are limits to what you can do, but, you know, that at least that gives you a little bit more of a handle on what the data means and how the different tables are related to each other.
Maybe we might even, we could sort of create a session and start trying to find out who's doing what and take it from there.
Look who sneaked in. Frank's here.
Frank?
Yeah. Well, Dan Painter has been working on this problem.
Who?
He's at University of Texas, Austin.
Who could you type the name into the chat, if you please?
He already did.
Oh, he did. Oh.
He did. Yeah.
Okay.
But since this is
Frank,
But since this is generating ontologies, would this be something that would be more kind of appropriate for the general ontolog session as opposed to OOR, where you, as somebody said, you're already dealing with things that are ontologies.
So he's been working in two areas. One is automatically trying to construct the ontologies from relational schemas, and the other is translation of Sparkle to SQL. I think lately they've been doing more work on the Sparkle to SQL translators, but I know that they have at least one paper on trying to automatically create the now I'm trying to remember whether they were doing RDF schema or OWL ontologies from relational database schemas. The problem is that the schema itself often doesn't have enough information to do a really good job of this. So I don't know how they were augmenting it. The schema usually only has the basic types and the integrity constraints.
The foreign keys are often missing as well. So
that's the difficulty.
That we've needed to add often.
I think he was assuming that the foreign keys had been specified with some sort of integrity constraint.
Hmm.
Inclusion dependency or something like that.
Right. I mean, your Chris Business Group has done things like DDRQ as well. And we have I wouldn't say it generates a very interesting ontology, but, we have a tool that will generate a basic schema from, RDF schema from the database schema as well.
Is there a name for the tool?
It's called AutoMapper. It's part of our ASIO tool suite.
Part of the who?
ASIO. ASIO.
It's a secret thing they have that's almost impossible to get a hold of.
Can we assume it's not open?
It's not. That part is not open, no.
Uh-huh. Okay, too bad. But I'll make a note of it anyway.
It's not even open to other parts of the same company. Sorry, Michael.
Give me the name again.
I put it in the chat session.
Oh, you did? Good.
And then you're familiar with DDRQ?
Say again, Mike?
I assume Peter's familiar with DDRQ from...
I've heard of the name, yes.
We actually started with that and needed to go in some slightly different directions. But and then there's a more general D to R. And then there's, this is more in the way of expressing that, but there's the W3C R to RML or expression mapping and in a couple different ways.
Interesting. Sorry to divert your conversation, Michael.
Oh, no. I mean, that wasn't, I kind of wrapped up the summary of the meeting, so this is kind of like new work. No, the only thing I was just going to say was that, maybe since this is talking about the creation of ontologies from databases rather than the relationships between existing ontologies, maybe this would be something for the broader ontolog forum.
Yes, definitely, and maybe a joint effort, because after that creation, I mean, maybe automatic. If it's automatic, then it becomes a sort of OR value-added service. My hope actually is that after that conversion, whether it's automatic or manual, that schema/ontology gets hosted on an OR instance, which becomes the go-to place where everyone could get to the schema.
Okay, I see. Yes, I was finished with the postmortem of the last couple of events, so we can move to the next item if Mike wants.
Okay, yeah, that sounds good. Let's see. So reviewing action items. So Michael, this is for you as well, talking to Mike Bennett to upload his ontology to OR.
Right, yeah. So I think because we've both been kind of so consumed with the ontology summit the past couple of months, I will get back to this with Mike now that we can kind of refresh ourselves,
right.
Reset.
Yeah, and Mike, you probably saw this exchange. There's a slight confusion because at one of the SOCOP meetings, of which I participate, I heard Gary says, he was talking to Mike Bennett, and Mike Bennett is very interested in uploading his ontology to the SOCOP OOR. And I said, as far as I understand, Michael is following up with Mike. So let's put this into a sort of multi-party conversation rather than trying to create misunderstandings.
And this actually maybe we could have this as another upcoming session for OR. I'm just looking down the next bullet here where we have the content session. I mean, maybe if we just had a session where we have Mike and Gary and other people just to kind of coordinate.
Yep.
What ontologies they are kind of working with and they want to upload, where they want to upload it, and if people are uploading, to SOCOP and somebody else is uploading to the general sandbox, how do we kind of deal with that? And just have a content coordination session.
Oh, absolutely. And maybe Federation.
Federation,
at least one-way Federation is the solution. We've had that before. So there's only one place to upload, and whoever else thinks is pertinent can federate.
Right. And so we'll get Lynn Pouchard for ORNL, and I can't remember who the contact is for MMI, but get all the different ORNet people together in one meeting.
Carlos Rueda.
Okay.
And John Grabiel.
Okay.
Okay, yes. Absolutely.
So I'll my action item for today then will be to contact all of these people and try to identify an upcoming date where we can have an OR session related to content coordination or content coordination or instance coordination. I don't know what we want to call it.
Content coordination.
Yeah, content coordination. Yeah.
Content coordination among. Among all our instances.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Right. Cool. We'll pursue. Okay. Well, sounds good.
Great. Thank you. And let's see, Ken, you've been doing some more work on gatekeeping?
I wasn't able to do much while I was finishing up the final exams, but now I'm free to do some work on that.
Okay.
Final exams?
Yeah,
just
they're
over. Forgot those, right?
No, it's just the beginning of May, though. Are you on a quarter system?
No, actually semester system. I don't know how they managed to finish so early.
Wow.
But,
it feels like
a quarter.
Okay. Summer holidays starts in a week or something for you?
Summer has already started.
Oh.
Started yesterday.
Oh, nice.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's a different season for us. Summer begins in May. Seems rather odd.
Yeah,
really?
For the graduation last weekend as well. So.
Graduation?
Yeah. Yeah.
But are they on a semester system or something else?
They're on semesters.
Yeah. It's weird, but yeah, that's
the same.
Oh, I see. It's a secret conspiracy to avoid having spring protests by students.
No, it's rather more mundane. The earlier students get out, the more competitive they are for summer jobs.
Or the university saves more money.
Yeah, I suppose the university saves money, but the pressure is from students.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh. Oh. Sorry, Mike.
That's fine. Okay, so let's see. The next item, I guess, is the upcoming activities. And so there is a session next week, I guess, on architecture and API.
There is?
Yep. Next week.
Now you know.
And the subject of that is?
So whatever it is, could either one of you send me a sort of abstract within the next couple of days so that I can create a session page skeleton with?
Yeah, Todd, we should work on that offline.
Mm.
Okay. All right. All right, now I have no clue, Peter.
Okay. You will in 2 days.
Thank you for that encouragement.
Okay. And then, let's say we're looking for the next metadata session as well. It sounds like we have some ideas here as well.
Yeah, well, I think the one we just mentioned, the content coordination, would not be part of the metadata series. The metadata series, I think that's going to take a little bit longer because it's going to require a little more kind of preparation. So I don't want to put a date for that one right now.
Okay.
Yeah, the last time you said, I mean, we would try to talk about it during the April 24th session to set up a date. Obviously, we didn't come to that conclusion. We came to a conclusion that we would need another session to talk about the language, language representation. But so you want to fix a date? I mean, even if it's further out?
No, because we were lucky to get Jerome. His schedule seems to, you know, like be over-constrained like everyone else. And so we were lucky to get him for that day. So I want to kind of build a schedule around when he's available because other people seem to be a little more flexible.
All right. Natasha doesn't seem to be very flexible either. I sense a little bit of pushback from her.
Okay.
On the date. On sort of doing a next session.
Mm.
She did say it's more easily said than done, or something like that. And by the way, sorry about still not having posted that audio. I'm behind now.
It's okay.
Mm. So you let us know later?
Yeah.
But not sort of next month's meeting, though. Not, it's only the beginning of June. Maybe could you think of something within the next couple of weeks or so that we don't have to wait till early June to revisit this question?
I'll try.
All right.
I'll try.
So, Peter, I see ORDev, the next one in the ORDev series, the OR content series. I assume those should actually be unindented, not underneath the metadata, right?
No, right. You're exactly right. So, wrong indentation.
Yeah. And the coordination kind of relates to the content, but maybe it's kind of separate as well. I don't know if we want to...
If you refresh, then I put the content coordination as the content thing
under content. Okay.
Under content. So at least I mean it's one content session that we can come up with.
Right.
Okay. But the dev session. Do we want to come up with a dev session? I will look to you for leadership there, Mike.
I think my thought is to kind of, we've got several kind of mapped out. I'm not quite sure what makes sense to cover in the dev session at this point. The other folks have ideas?
No.
So, I mean, if we continue to push, I mean, the last time we were trying to push everyone to four parties at least to come up with a tap. We didn't quite get a tap from any of the four parties. We could continue that.
What do you mean by tap?
The tap is the sort of basic unit of plug-in or extensions that BioPortal folks wants to see content sort of code developers work with.
Well, I certainly did the extension. I did the extension. I just, you know,
didn't put it on the tap.
Making a tab requires some graphic stuff that I am not that familiar with.
Yeah.
Can you get a student who are more familiar with sort of putting the graphics together?
It would be nice if there was a simpler way of, if you know, it wasn't such a complicated thing. I mean, it is a very elaborate process of getting the tabs. But, I mean, the actual semantics, I mean, the functionality, that I've been able to do. So, I mean, it's questionable what you really gain by having that tab. There's no question you can get to the page and you can use the page and all that sort of thing. The only difference between what I did and having the tab is just having that little tab on that one page. I mean, you can get to the page other ways.
But according to the BioPortal people, tabs are units of codes or modules of code you can add and not add or subtract from the whole stack. Like,
but Peter,
yeah,
are they?
If you define it that way, then I have done that.
Uh-huh.
Are they using?
You know, like I said, the only thing I haven't done is the graphical tab.
Yeah,
so are they using the term tab in two different ways, i.e. one for this module of functionality and the other for this graphical interaction mechanism?
I think they mean both.
I think
both.
So. I mean,
they mean
because,
both.
Well, I don't know. I mean, the way that it's described and how you add this tab, there's first the section on adding the functionality,
mm-hmm.
which I can do, and I've done it. And then it switches to, and now here's how you change the graphics on this front page, on the home page.
With the Ruby stuff?
To put this, you know, graphical tab on the page, and it's a completely independent thing. It's unrelated to putting the functionality in.
How about this? I mean, at least you've gone maybe further than most people. On at least doing the extension. Maybe when the other three parties have created the tab or have found out that they run into blocks trying to create that tab, then we can all compare notes again.
Ken, is that a subject for next week's meeting, perhaps?
It could be. I think so. This sounds like the right thing, the right time to be talking about it.
It's for no other reason to avoid further confusion and help people out.
I mean, you know, we could discuss whether there are alternative ways that we could introduce this functionality that would be a lot, you know, easier.
Maybe this is not hard. I mean, maybe it's hard because you don't do graphics. I don't know.
That could be, yeah. I mean, I really couldn't say. But, I mean, the functionality itself, I know how to do.
Right. So,
well, from an architectural perspective, you certainly want to distinguish between this back end functionality and the visualization or the user interaction with that functionality.
Oh no, I'm not distinguishing those. I have the visual aspect and the interaction and the functionality. I have everything except that graphical tab on the homepage.
Well, isn't that part of the user interaction?
No, the page where you have a separate page for each of these tabs goes to this page. And that page has this, you know, has a visual, you know, has interaction,
right.
It has functionality, it has all of that. The only thing it's lacking is that graphical tab on the main page.
I guess I'm confused. I'll have to email you separately, Ken.
It is a little confusing. But I mean, on that main page, I actually put a link to my page, and that's easy to do. So getting a link from the main page to the new page, right, the tab page, that's easy. So it's like everything is easy except, you know, that graphical last step, which constitutes more than half of the description of how to add such a functionality.
May I make two suggestions? One is, let's see what the other parties say, namely Mike and the VPN team, Michael and the Toronto team, and maybe Till and the Bremen team say about whether they run into problems with implementing that. That's one suggestion. The other suggestion is try to find a student. If you can't find a student, may I offer myself to help you with the graphics? I think the NCBO folks do make sense. Even if you have the function, I mean, if it's sort of visually there as a tab, as the square thing at the top, then your function is there. And if that tab or that button like thing is not at the top, your functionality is not part of the stack. I mean, it does make sense.
I'm not disagreeing with that, although here's some of the difficulties that occur with, you know, focusing on that. Suppose you have a collection of functions you'd like to add, you know, plugins. And let's say you have a half a dozen of them that are available and you want to add three of them. The order in which you put the tabs up is going to greatly affect, you know, your graphics. So I don't see any really easy way to sort of set this up in advance so that all you have to do is, you know, say, you know, insert this plugin. You know, the idea is to have all sorts of plugins available. For people to be able to use, and if the order in which you put these in is going to matter in terms of, you know, setting up the graphics, well, you know, you're going to have to supply n factorial images. It just doesn't scale up. You see what I'm getting at?
Yes. But I'm not. I haven't given up, though.
I'm just wondering how this could possibly scale up right now. I mean, I can see how to add one, and I might even be able to do that, even though I don't know much about graphics. But then, what if you have two? Now you've got, you know, two different orders in which you put them in. Not to mention, you know, the two cases where you just add one.
Well,
and when you go to three, it blows up.
We do tabs on browsers every day.
I know. So why don't we have some mechanism like that that would allow us to do it without this really awkward way of that's described in the bio portal?
Would you like to draft a letter to Natasha Noy or Ray Ferguson, for that matter? That's one way out.
Appeal. Would we get their attention if we made that the subject of next week's meeting and just use that meeting as a discussion of the pros and cons or the problems and possible solutions?
Possibly. But it would. We would be a lot more convincing if we had four parties trying than just one.
Right, but I guess what I'm getting at is, do people recognize this as a problem, first of all?
At the moment, I'm the only one that even seems to have encountered it.
Right.
Well, no, I mean, I remember, you know, going through the, you know, the set of instructions, and, you know, they made one pass, you know, updating things and asking. I think you requires Photoshop or something for the graphic, as I recall.
It suggests using something like Photoshop, which I don't have.
Yeah, right. It was one that I didn't have either. I think certainly a discussion, basically, of alternatives, you know, would be good. And the other thing I was trying to remember was how much flexibility you have in the, you know, if you could have like an OOR tab that then had, you know, multiple features below it, you know, might be a way of avoiding, you know, having to add, you know, 15 other tabs. To buy a portal. So.
Right. Well, there are all kinds of issues here. Obviously, this is a big point.
I guess I'd be willing to try to go back and look at revisit it. So.
Mike, how far did you get when you tried adding a tab?
Let's see. It was basically the point of having to do the graphic stuff as well, I think.
So we stopped at the same point.
Right.
Maybe Photoshop was the problem, not anything else.
Yeah. Well, I think there were some other things as well. We provided some feedback, and you know, they updated the instructions as well. So there were some version issues, I think, where the instructions hadn't kept up with the latest.
Right. I informed them about that, too.
Right. Right. And I know that they did update it. So
yeah.
It's probably why there's, you know, even more, you know. I mean, it is a fairly long tutorial to add features. So quite a few steps. But, you know, I think, like I said, I think my suggestion would be to see if, you know, talk among ourselves, see if we can think of some ways to simplify things, and then maybe have another meeting to, you know, to discuss that with the BioPortal folks.
Okay.
Who else is going to be trying to do a tab?
Oh, I have yourself, Mike Dean, Michael Gruninger, and I guess the Bremen folks. Those are the core. So it would be yourself, Mike Colore in sort of getting into the front end, Bremen AntoHub getting into the front end, and then maybe more peripherally, if we could engage them, then it would be SOCOP people who thinks they have functionalities to add, or the Oak Ridge people who actually had already added certain things on, and the MMI people who had already added something on to the basic BioPortal code. Although, that said, both ORNL and MMI actually added code to the very original maybe 2.0 version of BioPortal. And it has maybe 1.0 even. And BioPortal has since changed quite a bit. I think even tap as a feature or as a concept that they want to drive the extension architecturally wasn't even there during those earlier days.
Excuse me, Mike. I have to go. I have to shut off my VPN connection, and that'll kill my phone. Ken, I'll be in touch with you.
All right. So before you leave, could we do sort of the architectural API aspects of this at the next week's session, and then on the week after that, do the developer session? Do a developer session.
Do we get the four parties
together again? I mean, compare notes, and then we try to bring in the other parties who might contribute code.
Sounds okay with me.
All right.
Ken? Mike?
Yeah, it's fine with me.
So Mike would, so Ken and Todd would drive the May 8th session, and Mike, you can drive the May 15th session, possibly?
Yeah, I suppose so.
All right, great. So if you OR Def 8 would be May 15th.
Let me check my calendar.
Hey, Mike.
Yeah, oh, actually, I've got a commitment on the 15th. So I'm probably from 10 to 2, so I'm probably not going to be able to.
How about 22nd?
From
next week.
Tentatively, yes. Yeah.
All right. So could you make a note?
Okay.
Great.
Okay.
All
I'll
right.
Be in touch.
Yeah. Thanks, Todd.
Okay. Mike?
Yes.
Before I forget, are you going to be in Fairfax anytime in the next few weeks?
I'll be in the area around the 15th.
Okay.
So I'll be in Roslyn and probably Columbia. So
it's slowly. Okay.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Okay, let's see. We touched on it already a little bit, but we talked about collaborating with the NYC Facets and data.gov.
Actually, if people would refresh the page, I've got a little bit more on the page. That'll help. Yeah, we're working under 3AF9 now.
And then the content will be sometime after that. So, yeah, I think that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, we might be able to pull it off for the 15th. If the 15th is good for everyone that I'm thinking of, then we might be able to pull it off for the 15th.
Except for Mike.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's no good.
No. Do you want us to go ahead without you, Mike, or?
Well, I'd actually like to be there, particularly for the SOCOP part.
Okay.
Oh, yes.
Okay. So it'll be a later date.
29th, maybe?
That should be, I'll try for that. I'll propose that to everyone when I'm sending out the email.
Okay.
April 29th, okay.
Yeah.
May 29th.
May 29th. May 29th, yeah.
Okay. That sounds good. So do we want to plan to just take a week off on the 15th?
Sounds good to me.
So, Peter, did you want to say more about the NYC Facets?
Okay, I've pretty much said what I needed to say. The only other thing is to put it in context is that I've tried to work this possibility with, let's say, the National Coordination Office and between Mark Musin and Pat Hayes and I actually did turn this in as one of the proposals when we were invited to comment on the strategic the strategic planning for IT R&D is to use OOR as sort of the go-to place for ontologies. And one of the proposals actually was for us to work up the ontologies for all the data sets and then take it from there. Obviously, once we have that, there will be a huge possibilities on value add if all the data sets have an ontology that is accessible on OOR. One other thing we have been talking about, not just myself, but I remember Ken also talked about it, and again, this has been the idea has been floating around for a few years. Is to I believe Michael also talked about it. Some is to get some sort of ontology that are related to standards, various standards, again into the OOR. This is less developed than at least the ontology for government data sets. So that's the context. The new development is that, as some of you might have heard, I mean, one of the people on Ontolog, his name is Joel Natividad, won this grand prize in New York City. New York City has been running this initiative trying to mimic another sort of center of innovation, to mimic what the Silicon Valley can do. They wanted to do something similar in New York City or something better in New York City. So there have been a challenge or a competition called the Big Apps 3.0 competition. I think 3.0 might be the third time they run it or second time they run it. And one guy from Ontolog actually won the grand prize. And they developed a thing called NYC Facets that provides faceted search and a whole bunch of things, semantically driven stuff. By developing their apps over a semantic media wiki platform that uses semantic media wiki, the Halo extensions, I mean, all sorts of things that our team, I mean, which Ken and I have been driving, called the Purple Semantic Media Wiki team. I mean, they use sort of similar platform that we have been doing. And since PSMW is something that Ken and I are working to migrate the Ontolog content over, so we have sort of a lot of reasons to learn more on how Joel Natividad had done his stuff. Mm-hmm. And very luckily, New York City is very serious about this drive, and now Mayor Bloomberg is using Joel and his team as a sort of poster child for and giving a lot of press to them, arranging presentations, doing all sorts of things that on the media, on news with them. So they are getting a lot of spotlight. And New York is also driving a new thing called the NYC Open Data that mimics what data.gov is doing, but at the city level. And Joel gets to be sort of the host for the collaborative work environment. So he's doing an Ontolog for New York City to get people to come together and prepare the standards and policies around sort of the New York City based data.gov, which will be open. So it's called NYC Open Data. And Joel is very anxious to work with us. And I told him about the fact that I've been sort of having conversations with data.gov since data.gov had started. We also have been thinking of sort of putting up OR as the go-to place for ontologies and this conversion possibilities, and they could sort of use New York City as a potential testbed for those ideas. And of course, when I run this by the data.gov people, namely the three people who I'm talking to, Gene Holm, who used to be from JPL, NASA, who actually went to the White House to become an evangelist for data.gov before Vivek Kundra resigned from the White House CIO position. She now engages more with GSA, who has since inherited the data.gov project, but they don't have a huge budget to work on those. And then the other person, and of course her associate there is Chris Musalek, who presented at the Ontology Summit on data.gov because Gene had a family emergency. That's one. And the other person, you remember, was one person who was on our panel the year before on the at the summit, George Thomas, who actually is tasked to develop the communities around data.gov. So these are key players, and so I'm engaging them, and they are happy to work with the New York City effort as well. So I'm now working on doing two sessions, May 10th and May 17th, both Thursdays. One more on the open data, big open data, the catchphrase is big open data. One more on the big open data aspects of it, and the other on the semantic media wiki applications aspects of it. So two sessions, one more technical, the other more sort of policy community type session. So we haven't fixed the date yet, but I started sort of circulating the ideas around, and we should come to some conclusion on dates and topics by this Thursday, because May 10th is just 1 week away by this by Thursday. So I hope OR will be a key player in this whole mix.
So, Peter, for that, were you thinking of having Joel? I mean, it sounds like having Joel give a bit of a demo and walkthrough of the existing site would be a helpful piece of that.
Absolutely. And I think they probably should be the people who would be given the time to run through the demo and explain what they did. And then other people in the session probably would be best just sharing experience and bouncing questions, so that we maximize on that 2 hour time slot to find out how they did it and what are the potentials going forward, rather than sort of featuring multiple presentations. That's my basic thinking.
So sort of use that as an intro to a more general just discussion.
Right. But I see myself as one of three people driving the sessions. Ontolog being one, data.gov people being one, and the New York City government people who are behind the New York City data being the other. So three, or maybe four, if we also count, let's say, the the SMW community folks. Of course, the Semantic Media Wiki people just had their annual conference near San Diego last week, and Jesse Wang among them was driving that effort. Jesse would be sort of a partner in trying to put together these two sessions as well with me. So maybe
right.
Four parties.
Right. So just one other quick comment. I mean, I wasn't quite sure between the two sessions. You know, it seems like getting the, having Joel present things would be a good thing to start off that series. It seemed like the way it was suggested here that in your message last night that really the first one was more focused on policy and the second one more on technology.
But then, I mean, we could still start them off with telling us what he's doing. Maybe the second session will go more deeply into how he did it.
Okay.
And I guess the whole, whoever is engaged, I mean, except for the SMW folks who probably had spent a couple of days with Joel last week and know a little more technically, most of us probably need exposure.
Right.
It's a very rich app, very rich environment that they've been developing those things on.
Right.
A lot of mathematics too, and I guess Ken would be excited or would be thrilled to see what they're doing, because somehow it looks like there's a statistician or a operations researcher on their team. I mean, I'm only looking at it from the outside. I mean, looking at their presentations.
it would seem like ICOM would have some relationship to this because of the emphasis on collaboration.
Could be, yes, definitely. If we can get New York City to bank on ICOM as a sort of collaborative platform, that's great. But I think the roadmap to that is we absorb ICOM into Semantic Media Wiki as the sort of platform for collaboration and take it from there rather than saying adopt ICOM. Because Joel is doing the ontolog for them. So he comes up with the collaboration platform. So a lot of possibilities.
Well, I'm thinking of ICOM more as a standards, a technical committee and a standards group.
Sure.
And that this would be the connection with standards. So the different groups like, NYC and data.gov, I mean, presumably it would be useful for them to have standards so that you'd have the open collaboration.
Sounds great. Would be lovely.
So it's not like one is imposing one on the other. It's just they work together to have standard.
Definitely.
Some kind of mention of standards in ICOM might be useful at one of these meetings. I'm not sure which of those two.
Mention them at both.
Yeah.
Since our PSMW effort is sort of serious on sort of absorbing ICOM into the fold.
Right.
Yeah, definitely.
So that's good. So you're thinking of just having a single presentation on May 10th?
I don't know yet. I sent out a mail last night and I said let's give 24 hours to everyone in the loop to bounce ideas off. And I haven't seen anything yet. You might make a post. Someone could make a post. I don't even know
if
it's
a mailing list.
What?
This isn't a. It was just a list of people, right?
It's just a list of people. There's no mailing list quite yet.
Right.
So answer to that threat, which Ken and Mike are on, say something.
Yeah, I will. Sure, I'm available. I could help organize that.
Yeah, but I think the organizers would generally be someone from New York City, someone from data.gov, and maybe Jesse and myself in the beginning. But definitely we would at least I don't want this to be a sort of one-off session, but it should be the beginning of a much more extensive collaboration.
Yeah, definitely. It looks like it has a lot of possibilities.
Yep.
Cool. This I think this will be a good a good way of starting and a promising thing going forward. Yeah.
Yes.
Let's see. We talked already about engaging Jerome Usenet. Did you have more you wanted to add on that, Peter?
No. I've talked about that earlier. Yes.
Okay.
Oh, except unless Michael has some idea on how to do this, or maybe take on the task of representing us to try to help get them engaged.
Well, I wanted to use the mapping sessions as the means of engaging him more, and then once that's done, then we can see what other specific opportunities there are. The more concrete, the better. So that's why I was focusing on the mapping follow-up meeting.
Yeah, one approach might be to integrate the alignment API into BioPortal more directly. That would allow you to plug in different mapping algorithms and so forth.
That's true.
So.
So shall we sort of from here on look to you for that engagement?
Sure. Yeah.
Good. Great.
Okay. Let's see. As far as Peter, do you have any updates on the OR instances?
No, except that I listed, sort of recapped all the details in the bullet below 3AFI. So in the future, if anyone wants to find out what OR number, let's say what is OR-05, I mean, this is sort of the go-to place where you could look, or if you want to find out what colore.or.net actually maps into, I mean, in terms of the URL, then this is the one place to look.
Well, the one place being OR.net, or?
No, the one place being everything below 3AFM.
Okay, although that pretty much duplicates the information on OR.net, which is authoritative, right?
Right. Yeah. But on OR.net, you probably can't see where colore.or.net goes to anymore.
Oh, if I
because
have
now it's already on the DNS.
Yeah, it's on the. Oh, I see.
So on that one page, you will only have colore.or.net. You won't have code.google.com/p colore.
Right. I understand. Okay.
So if there's one place to find out where they all go, this is the place.
Okay. Yeah. Sounds good. So thank you again for setting it up. That's good. And I remember, so Mark didn't want to have the bioportal or the link, but he's willing to kind of have it be part of the umbrella.
Yeah, exactly. He doesn't want sort of .or.net. And I offered him to be bioportal.or.net. And I mean, this was way back when. And I guess he took it up at a NCBO meeting and the idea didn't quite fly.
I see. Okay.
But he's willing to be part of the network of OORs. So
right.
We can always mention BioPortal as one instance of OOR. It's just that it doesn't have a URL called bioportal.or.net.
Right. Okay, let's see. Do we have any other member activity reviews or?
No, I've pretty well covered everything from our end right now.
Yeah. I don't have anything to add. Okay. I think we're probably close to where we want to be on time. And I'm just wondering, are there any other things that we should cover today?
We've come
to
a lot.
Yeah.
Yes.
So maybe next month, the first Tuesday would be the 5th. So any particular objection to next monthly meeting to be the 5th?
Sure.
As far as I know, that's fine. Yeah.
Okay, then that would be it.
Okay, that overlaps with Syntax.
It does?
Yeah. I'll be at Syntax. I have no other folks as well.
Can barely hear you, but can you offhand tell us what is the date for Semtech?
Semtech is June 4th through 7th.
4th to 7th.
Yeah.
So shall we make the next OR meeting the 12th then, maybe? Skip that week?
That would probably be good, yeah. Are you going to Semtech?
I'm not going.
Ah. Okay, I'll be there.
Well, I also expect to be there, Mike.
Oh, good.
Yeah, Joel Natividad says he'll be there too. So by that time, we've probably had some interactions with him, so catch him there.
Good. Yeah, I met him at SMWCon last year. So,
oh, you did. Oh.
Yeah.
And you weren't at SMWCon this year, though.
I was not there this year. No, I kind of watched the announcements and stuff, but didn't travel. So.
Okay. So no meeting on this on June 5th due to Semtech then.
Right.
That sounds great. Yeah.
So no meeting on the June 5th. No meeting on the 15th. We did have a meeting on the 15th, did we? No, we did.
I think we.
Yeah, we said
that was.
Yeah, no OR meeting on the 15th.
Yeah.
All right. That's it.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, everyone.
Yep. Okay, talk to everyone later.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.